Hey family, here's another podcast from the 98.5 Breakfast Show with Kirsty and Dan.
Oh, that's us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Family, starting off with some good news. That earlier crash in Edgewater has cleared up. Unfortunately, traffic remains pretty heavy on the approach. That's Mitchell southbound just after Hodges Drive. And for the remainder of that southbound run, it's underspeed around Reed Highway as well. Northbound, slow Mortimer Road to Anchortail Road and underspeed at Leach Highway. And there are no traffic hotspots to bother you at the CBD or the Metro. Drive safely. That's the latest from Main Roads.
Oh yeah, we've missed the stat man, Grant Dusting from Grant Dusting from McCrindle Research is here. Good morning, Grant.
Morning,
how are
guys.
You?
Morning, Dan. I'll take either Grant or Grant. I don't mind.
How about
it's
Gary?
Okay.
Sure. Why not?
We're not going to call you Gary. We're going to call you the stat man, Grant, and it's great to chat to you this morning. And, you know, look, we've been talking a little bit about it this morning. It's federal election eve. So
it's Electionmas eve. Woo!
Yes. So I'm assuming you've got something to talk to us about that today, have you?
Well, given where the stat man segment, thought we could talk some election voting, kind of some maybe some quirkier stats this
yes.
morning, if you think you're up for that.
Oh,
yeah.
So up for it.
All right, get started. What have you got?
Yeah, so we're not going to, sorry to disappoint, but I'm not going to be trying to predict the outcome of the election here. There are election polling companies who specialise in that and sometimes get it wrong. But I think for us at McCrindle, it's more understanding why, not just who people are voting for, but why and kind of what's going on behind that. So the first thing that we see in kind of recent elections is a real trend towards people voting early. So people might know there's different voting options. Sure, you can go on the day and get your democracy sausage, but also there's things like postal votes or pre-polls. I don't know if either of you have done one of those before.
I haven't. I believe producer Leon may have done it occasionally.
Yes, I often postal vote.
Smart boy.
Wow. Gosh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, these kind of people voting early, that's becoming increasingly common. So if you want a stat, here's one. When John
yes.
Howard was elected Prime Minister, that was back in 1996, so just over 15 years ago, 86% of the votes were received at polling places on election day. So 86% for John Howard.
Okay, yep.
Wow. But then for the last federal election, 2019, only a little more than half, so about 54%. Of votes were actually received at polling places on election day.
Wow.
So the remainder were a mix of postal votes, but mostly people voting at pre-poll. So voting in person, but voting early.
So I've got to ask then, Grant, like, you know, obviously there's been some, you know, policy announcements like recently that they're trying to use to, you know, get them over the line for the last thing. But obviously that's not going to impact the people who've done the early votes. And how long does it take for them to get all of the early votes to know whether there's a winner or not, if there's that many of them doing them early?
Yeah, well, it does change things. And certainly if you've got so many people, if you've got nearly half of people voting before the day, it means that if you're a politician or a political party, you don't want to leave your big ticket announcements until the last minute because people might have already voted. So that is kind of changing the dynamic a bit. But I think what's really driving that is the convenience factor. So if we think back to the 80s and 90s when most people were voting on the day, Saturdays and weekends, there was shops open, you know, restricted trading, people weren't as busy. And now we live such busy lives, right? Mm. And so people are maybe working themselves, maybe dropping off kids to sport. Mm-hmm. And so there's all these things happening. So the convenience factor, I think, is driving that trend.
Yeah,
absolutely, right. Absolutely. And this year we're going to see even weirder things with people being able to phone vote because of, you know, isolation and whatnot. So that's interesting.
It's keeping the Electoral Commission on their toes, that's for sure. I think they're doing well, all things considered.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, Grant, we're going to stick around. We're going to go to a quick song, but we'll be back with more Statman after this.
Hey, it is the Stat Man. We are joined by Grant Dusting here.
Is one of us going to talk, Kirsty?
Well, Dan, I thought you were saying you were going to, but you had your mouth full of toast, so I
was pointing
just
at you. I was pointing at you, which is the international symbol for go. Anyway, hi, everyone. Welcome back to 98.5. This is Kirsty and Dan from Breakfast. And on the line, we have Statman Grant Dusting from McCrindle Research. Good morning, Grant. We are talking all about the election. It's happening tomorrow, and we're up to voting trends. Tell us about voting trends.
Yeah, so we've just talked about the trend of more people voting early with every subsequent election, and we're on track to continue that trend this year. But also what's changing and something to keep an eye out for in this, with the results coming through this weekend, is a shift in recent times has been that inner city areas, so inner city and inner suburbs, have been tending to vote, more likely to vote kind of left, so towards Green or Labor, while the outer suburbs or regions have been more likely to tend to vote towards Liberal, National or kind of similar on the right. And that's a bit different to kind of the old theory, which went that the more affluent areas, which tend to be inner city, inner suburbs, which have higher household incomes, more kind of white collar workers, the old theory went that those people tended to vote kind of Liberal, standing for lower taxation and kind of more frugal government spending on services, while the more working class areas, which tends to be the outer suburbs, the old theory went that those areas tended to vote more Labor, which usually represents higher government spending on things like social services and things that support the working class. But that old theory's kind of had some holes poked in it in recent times. So that's something that's definitely changing.
Interesting. Do you have any do you have any research as to why they think that's happening, or is it just, you know, people are just changing? They're not. You know, happy with the governments that they used to go for?
Well, some of this comes down to demographics. And so you might hear political pundits refer to some seats as safe seats and some as marginal seats.
Yeah.
And usually those labels are purely based on demographics of the area. So some of those things I mentioned before, like household income, kind of the maybe the types of professions that people work in, often actually do indicate where people are going to vote. But what's been changing is probably and we saw this in the last election. So a great example would be Tony Abbott's old seat of Warringah in New South Wales qualifies as that traditional blue ribbon Liberal seat, been held by the Liberal Party for years and years and years. I think probably since creation, actually, of that seat, not creation of all time, but... just to clarify that.
And on the seventh day, God invented the seat of Warringah.
Yes, and gave it to Tony Abbott. But a key blue ribbon seat was actually won by an independent, Zali Steggall, who her primary policy platform was basically action on climate change. And that was the kind of one thing that she was driving home. And so that kind of typifies this trend we've been seeing, that the kind of inner suburbs, more affluent areas, have actually been tending to maybe away from the Liberal vote. And so this election, we've got some very high profile, what have been called the teal independents. So running as independent candidates, but kind of as a group. So it'll be one to watch in WA in Curtin, which used to be Julie Bishop's seat.
Yes.
Now held by Liberal Celia Hammond, but there's a strong independent challenger there. So there'll be some things to watch like that.
The teal wave is coming. Look out. Yeah. Another thing that I think is weighing in, we got a text here from Jordan. He says, I've lost all faith in the Labor and Liberal parties, just as crooked as the Crips and the Bloods. I say Statman Grant himself to be Prime Minister. Hey, bold strategy. I'm not saying it's not a good strategy, but do you reckon trust in governments is a big factor?
Well, firstly, that's very kind of you, Jordan. But I think I do have trust in the governments and institutions, but it's definitely something that we've actually been studying through our research that, yes, it's actually Jordan's comment is pretty reflective of, I think, a lot of people are feeling, that trust in our institutions in Australia is on the decline. So we've done research and found that 1 in 3 Australians say that their trust in the federal government has decreased in the last 2 years. And that's not actually pointing fingers at one particular politician, because we asked about the federal government kind of as an institution, And we similarly asked about the state government, and the figure was actually similar for the state government too.
Right.
But we know trust has also been declining in what people's trust in, say, social media and mainstream media as well. Mm. So it's not just government, it's media. And I think people are... So that's a clear trend, that people are actually more distrustful of what's being said to them by our institutions and the media as well.
Yeah, yep. Look...
Don't trust that media. Don't listen to us.
Don't
listen to us. What do we know?
Well, Grant, this is fascinating, and we'll all be waiting to see what the outcome is tomorrow with the federal election. But thanks so much for all your input and your research and all the trends that have been happening. You have a good one.
Thank you. I'll be one of those people up on election night kind of glued into Anthony Green's coverage on the TV. So, yeah, I'm one of those.
You're the
junkies.
Best. All right, love Grant. It. Thanks so much, Statman.
Bye. Well, there you have it, family. Another Breakfast Show podcast. If you loved it, you can always check out the 98.5 website, 98five.com.
Or you can even just tune in live.